Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com, and you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org, and past shows are also available on either of those websites. Today is May 20th, 2015. The markets were mixed today. The Dow closing at 18,285, the NASDAQ at 5071, and the S&P at 2125. Last week, we discussed entrepreneurial spirit and purchasing support with Don Jean from FocusedBuyer.com. I want to thank Don for being here. It was enlightening, and I appreciated him taking his time to share his experiences with us. Tonight, we're discussing Medicare planning, and this is a very interesting topic, and it affects a lot of people, and it's important to kind of know the ins and outs of this. So we're going to talk about Medicare planning. I'm really excited about it. We are live. If you would like to call in with questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. We do have a guest this evening, so that'll be extra special. Judy Ann is in the studio with us this evening, and we'll answer your calls, take your questions, and you can call and talk live on air with us or off air, whatever you're more comfortable with. Just make sure if you call in live that we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear us without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while we do typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic and we'll do our best to answer them. The number again is 610-758-8810. Email is also available for questions at yourfinancialchoices.com. So tonight we are discussing Medicare planning with Dan Banks from Silver Crest Insurance. Dan is the president and co-founder of Silver Crest Insurance with offices in Bethlehem and Macungie. SilverCrest is an independent insurance agency specializing in Medicare insurance plans. They work with a variety of insurance companies offering Medicare supplements, prescription drug plans, and Medicare Advantage plans. So, Dan, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Lori. Glad to be here.
Thank you for being here. Dan and I met probably, what, a couple months ago,
couple
maybe?
A couple months ago, yeah.
Because I did not realize this service existed, that folks can get help when choosing supplemental Medicare plans and help understanding Medicare, navigating it, because it's always, I think, a very confusing time for folks. So I found this very interesting, and Dan was quite enlightening and knew the subject quite well. So we are going to be talking about a number of circumstances with Medicare issues, highlights, ideas, ways to work through some of these questions that folks might have around Medicare. So, Dan, can you tell us a little bit how you got started, and then we'll dive into some questions?
Sure. Probably about 15 years ago, I started out in the insurance and financial services business. I actually started as a life insurance agent and kind of grew into a financial planner. Spent about 8 years doing that, and then I actually had a client come in who was going on Medicare, asked if I would help him out with it, and I had to admit that I actually knew nothing about it. So even though, you know, there's a Medicare insurance and that, it's just a lot different than what I had been doing. So as I did a little research, I found that, you know, it would be really difficult for someone who is getting ready to go on Medicare to actually figure out what they're doing. So I saw an opportunity to help people in a way that, you know, I never thought possible. And I said, you know, there's something here. So I think it was probably a week or two later I decided I was going to just start my own agency and offer, you know, independent advice on Medicare planning.
So a little research probably turned into a lot of research.
Oh, my. Yes.
Because you seem to know quite a bit about it now.
Yeah, it sure did.
Let me give the phone number again, 610-758-8810, if you have questions regarding Medicare. So let's start, Dan, if you don't mind. We'll jump right into this.
Sure.
So I do think that there is a lot of confusion around Medicare and the plans and the enrollment options. I quite often will have people say, you know, do I have to go on Medicare? When do I have to go on Medicare? They think they're going on Medicare at age 62. So there's just lots of different, you know, confusion. So why do you think Medicare can be so confusing for people?
Well, I think you know, for some of the reasons you just mentioned, it's not everybody knows when exactly they need to go on. If they work past 65, for example, they may have coverage through work. So they hear, you know, if I go past the age I'm supposed to enroll, I might get a penalty. And it's actually, you know, it becomes scary. So in that way, they're trying to find out what's going on and what they need to do. But then even taking it further, there's actually two distinctive options for coverage once you get onto Medicare. So, and many different insurance companies offer supplemental plans and then what's called Medicare Advantage plans. So, you start throwing all that into the mix and it becomes confusing really fast. So,
Right. For example, like on their Social Security statements, they'll see that they're paying for Medicare Part B.
Right.
But where's A?
Right, exactly.
Like, so if I'm paying for B, what is A?
What is A?
And then you hear, you know, all of these different, you know, letters, which we're going to talk about in a little bit.
Right.
So what do you suggest would be, you know, a way to kind of help folks? How are they supposed to understand? I mean, I know that Medicare has a website, medicare.gov. But even that, and we can talk about this a little bit later, too, because I had mentioned this manual to you, and we can talk about it later. But I went online, and there was a pamphlet, Medicare and You, and it's 152 pages, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
What are some easier ways for people to kind of get familiar with this?
Well,
and
I
make
mean,
informed decisions, really.
Right. I you know, I think it's good. Everybody has a tendency to want to do research. You know, especially if there's, you know, if they're looking at a situation and they're saying, well, I'm going to have to go through Medicare. I mean, you're going to be inclined to do research, ask people, which I think is good. But I think when it comes to Medicare, you really need to seek the counsel of somebody who knows the subject cold. And whether that's an apprised counselor, which is actually a volunteer that gets trained in Medicare, so they can give you a general understanding of what a lot of this material will tell you. Or, I mean, at some point, they're probably going to have to work with an insurance company or I would recommend, obviously, an independent agent, somebody who works with all the different insurance companies so they can give them sort of a more unbiased view and in some guidance.
And
in,
a
hey,
menu
what I need
to
do.
Choose
yeah,
from.
Yeah, a menu
where
to choose from. It's really hard to navigate through as a layperson and figure it out and then feel comfortable with where you end up.
Now, you said that the apprised counselor is a volunteer.
Correct.
So how does someone find this volunteer? Is it through Medicare?
Actually, through your local senior centers.
Okay.
That is a good question. You could probably Google apprised for your area and come up with the number to call.
So they would be trained, but they're trained by Medicare, do you think?
Yes.
Okay, but they wouldn't necessarily know all the different kinds of insurances that might be available out there.
Right, that's sort of where they fall short, because they may, sometimes I find that they're going to suggest insurance plans, and on the sly, they're not supposed to, but right. I'll hear that once in a while, and I just don't think that's a good idea. I think that they're good at what they do. They can explain Medicare and the different parts of Medicare, but usually the person who is getting the advice, their tendency, because the apprised counselors are typically on Medicare, And the person's tendency is to ask them, hey, well, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And that's just a bad, that's just a bad idea, because what they're doing may not be what you should be doing.
Well, one of the things when I got together with Dan to prepare for the show is we had looked at kind of coordinating some of what Medicare provided and what the different insurance plans provided specific to someone's needs. So we can talk more about the different types of Medicare plans that are available and the ABCDs of it. We're going to take our first break. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org. WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station.
And welcome back to the show. You're listening to Your Financial Choices with Lori Siebert, and I have with me in the studio this evening Dan Banks, president and co-founder of Silver Crest Insurance, and we are talking about Medicare, all the ins and outs of Medicare. So we were just talking about how it can be confusing to some folks, and that there are opportunities to get more information either through the website medicare.gov, but maybe even more specifically to help people with their own situations and specific situations to, you know, for themselves, either using an independent agent or an apprise counselor. A apprise counselor is a volunteer who's found through your local area on aging or senior center, and they may be able to help direct you to some extent as well. But because it is so confusing, Dan, really getting someone who's informed about this could be beneficial to people. It could make a difference in the kind of supplemental plans they get or which kind of Medicare they may choose. So let's talk about first what is available through Medicare, and we call these the ABCDs, basically. And some people might not even be aware of that. These might be people who are getting ready to go on Medicare. This could apply to people who are on Medicare and maybe never really understood all the ins and outs of it when they got it. They might have just taken what they thought was the best thing. So let's talk about the different pieces of Medicare.
Okay. Well, I mean, for all intents and purposes, there are four parts to Medicare, A, B, C, and D. Never will anybody have all four parts at one time. So you can say that the chassis or the foundation of your coverage is always going to be A and B Medicare. A covers people when they go into the hospital, if they get admitted to the hospital, or if they get admitted to like a skilled nursing facility, which would be rehabilitation. And then B would cover you for everything else, and everything else would be like your doctor visits, outpatient therapy, that would be your durable medical equipment, ambulance rides. So a lot of the routine care that you would have, no matter what other type of coverage you have, you're going to have A and B as a foundation. Part D is a standalone drug plan. So if you think D, think drug.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So one form of coverage, there's, like I said, there's two distinct forms of coverage. One would be to have A and B as your primary coverage. Then in addition to that, you would have a supplement plan, which most people know the lingo for that. They would have a Medigap plan, and then a Part D prescription drug plan. So there's A, B, and D plus a supplement. And then the C, Medicare Part C, is actually what they call a Medicare Advantage plan, or you can say a Medicare replacement plan. And it's actually it's a private insurance company or an insurance company such as Highmark, Aetna, Humana. I mean, there's many different insurance companies, and they actually subcontract with the federal government, get subsidized, and they combine. This is where it gets confusing, so right. Hopefully people are paying attention. It's A, B, plus D into one plan, and those plans are traditional. They kind of mimic coverage that we're all used to, a PPO or an HMO plan where you have a copay, and they now become your primary coverage. So those are the two different types of coverage, and that's why you would never have A, B, C, and D as the same plan.
Okay, so you can have A, B, and a supplemental
plus a
drug plan, but it doesn't have to be a Medicare D program, though, right? Could someone get a supplemental prescription plan like you can get a supplemental insurance?
That's a good question, because that's actually a common misconception that there's a government drug plan and there's not. Mm-hmm. It's called Medicare Part D, but they're all administered through private insurance companies. And the D program is subsidized by the government. So in there lies a lot of confusion as well. And we're going to get into it probably a little later, the coverage gap and everything else we can talk about. But no, a lot of times people say, well, isn't there a government plan for prescriptions? No.
Oh, see, here, I should know some of these things. So this is why I had to come on the show, because there's all of these kind of misconceptions around Medicare and some of that.
Exactly.
So, but someone who would do A, B, and D then and could have a supplemental plan.
Right. They would generally, it would be advisable to then have a supplement to cover the quote unquote gaps in A and B Medicare.
Okay, so there we go. We have a supplemental plan to cover the gaps, meaning the services or medical.
Basically, the medical coverage that the government provides you through A and B Medicare, which, if we want to be real general, we can say the government covers about 80% of your care. And the supplements cover the other 20%.
Okay, there we go.
And to make it even more fun, there's actually 10 different supplements, all lettered A through N, that cover a variety of that 20%. So,
okay, so tell us again the definition of the Medicare. So we because it is confusing.
Sure.
I want to repeat it a little bit. So
right.
A is the hospital insurance, and we don't see a premium for that through our Social Security. We're not writing a check to the government. Medicare Part A happens when we turn age 65.
Right, for 99% of America, because you have been paying payroll taxes through your Medicare for a long time. So you qualify for that generally through your payroll deductions, just like you qualify for Social Security.
Okay, so that's what's paying for Part A.
Yes, but I do like to tell people, though, if you had to pay for it, it would cost $407, because it's good to know the value of your coverage. So it's,
month? $407
a month, yeah.
Okay. So that's Part A. So that's covered through the payroll taxes we paid during our working lives.
Right.
And then Part B, we see taken out of the Social Security payments if someone is collecting Social Security, because
correct.
As we said, someone might not be collecting Social Security yet.
Right.
So if you're collecting Social Security, they're going to take it automatically out.
Yep.
So Part B is kind of your doctor appointments, doctor bills, and that kind of thing.
Right.
You said that plan might only cover about 80%, which is why we have supplemental insurance to cover that gap, which is why they sometimes call it Medigap.
Exactly.
Okay? Yeah. So, folks, this is all very important information. You want to make sure that you understand it, because you also want to make sure that when you're looking at the different coverage of Part B, there may be certain medical services that you have specifically for maybe some health issues that you have, and you want to make sure that coverage is going to be adequate. And if it's not, that's why you want to be careful at what supplemental plans you're looking at, probably.
Yeah, and that's a good point, because when we sit down with folks, and this is why you don't necessarily want the same coverage your neighbor has, because they may be healthy as a horse, and you may have pre-existing conditions, and perhaps you want more comprehensive coverage. So it's a good idea to sit down and look at the different varieties of coverage, and you can essentially you can have it tailored to your own needs and budget.
Okay. And so there's lots more to talk about, folks. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. We're talking to Dan Banks from Silvercrest Insurance about Medicare. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, call 610-694-8100, extension 6, or visit our website, wdiy.org.
And welcome back to the show. This is Your Financial Choices and your host, Lori Siebert. And I have in the studio with me this evening, Dan Banks from Silvercrest Insurance. We're talking about Medicare. We had, let me mention the phone number if you have questions. The phone number is 610-758-8810. And we did have a question come in from Albert and McCungie. And Albert, we're going to do our best to try to answer this based on what was written here. You had said your father was a union member. And once his insurance ran out, he started using Medicare. Now, okay, so I'm kind of guessing that he might have had some kind of independent insurance coverage that he wasn't required to go on Medicare. That might be what that means.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was penalized for not paying into the Medicare plan for that before that. We can explain what that means as well. Folks, if you were eligible for Medicare at age 65, and Dan can correct me if I say anything wrong, if you're eligible for Medicare and you have other insurance coverage, you don't necessarily have to sign up for the Medicare. But if you don't have coverage at age 65 and you were supposed to be paying for Medicare Part B and didn't, then what they can do is come back and have you pay extra premiums to make up for that period of time you didn't pay
right.
for the coverage.
Exactly.
Okay, you can correct me on this. But
no, that's right.
And the rest of his comments and questions were, as a government worker myself, so he works for the government, he said, do I need to make sure I have Medicare paid in addition to my insurance?
Right. So, I mean, it's hard to comment specifically on why that might have happened to his father. But what I would say, no matter what kind of coverage you have, if you have coverage through an employer, whether it's government or not, past the age of 65, you are not required to go on to Medicare, and you won't have a penalty as long as your coverage is considered credible, which is probably any government insurance or almost any group health plan you have. If you leave that coverage after age 65, you will have what they call a special enrollment period where, you know, say you're 70 years old, for example, and you leave that coverage for whatever reason, you would be allowed to go ahead and pick up your Part B Medicare, which is the part that you pay for, not have a penalty, and then whatever other coverage you're going to get. So generally, most people don't have the penalty unless they go with a gap in coverage between the ages of 65 and on. And that is a big concern that people have. So it does. I will say, though, if you have coverage like that and you're over the age of 65, you might want to compare it to what the coverage would look like under Medicare, and you might be surprised. So I hope that answers that question.
Okay, Albert, I hope that helped. If folks have questions or you need anything clarified, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Dan, to that point where you say someone, you know, this he hadn't paid in, the only way you really wouldn't have paid in is if you didn't sign up for, like, because Social Security kind of happens automatically. If he signed up for Social Security, I thought the Medicare kind of happens automatically.
Yeah, I mean,
not.
Well, I think what he's saying is that not paying in would have less to do with not getting your deductions as you were working, because if you're getting taxes taken out of your check, you're paying into Medicare. It's part of your taxes.
For the Medicare Part A, though, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. And then Part B, the only way that you, again, you would have that penalty or wouldn't be paying in is if you deferred Medicare and didn't have other coverage.
Right. And you told them maybe that you had other coverage or something.
Right. They have to know. Even folks that are going off of group insurance after the age of 65, they have to fill out a special application that they actually give a page to their employer, and they have to put the dates of coverage so that they know, so that the government can knows that you had coverage that whole time.
Yeah.
And that's actually, that can be a little, there's a couple of catches there too. They may put the most recent date that they renewed their coverage. And you got to be careful about that, because that date has to go back to before you were 65, or you're just going to have a hassle. They're going to want to give you a penalty, and you get a nasty letter, and people get a little anxious about it. But it's just a matter of calling in and saying, hey, you know, I did have coverage, and given the date. So you just, you know, there's a lot of little pitfalls along the way.
Okay, so you want to make sure too, folks, that if you're in that period of open enrollment, you want to make sure you're doing things timely. We can talk about that in a minute. Right now I have a tax question that's come in on line one. So we have David on line one. David, can you hear me?
Yes, Laurie, yes.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. Thanks for taking the call. Appreciate
it. Yeah, how can I help you?
Okay, I have the following. I have an insurance policy for a while, a long time, and now I'm going to be returning it to the company or selling it back, settling with the company,
okay,
with the insurance company. I was told that they will pay me the current cash value on the policy. However, Laurie, they're going to be issuing a 1099 for about $51,000, and basically it's because I have made loans against the policy, and it looks like the end product is a 1099, $51,000.
Yeah.
Is there anything that I could offset against the $51,000?
Is there anything what?
That I can offset?
Yeah. Well, It's ordinary income on page one, and again, it's because of the loans. So, you know, the only thing I would say is you want to look to see if you have any other deductions that you could use in the same year. But that is what it is. The $51,000 is going to be taxable. So, if you look at page one of your return, if you're someone who works, you know, you can put more in a 401k, or if you work and have earned income and you qualify to put money in a traditional IRA, those are the kinds of deductions. Or if you have an investment account, you could see if you could harvest some capital losses to help offset that. But there's nothing specific to that, you know, insurance cash value that's coming out. It's because of the loan. I caution people about this all the time.
Yeah, it's a bad deal, yeah. After a while, yeah.
Yeah, no, and if you had just left it there, then, you know, your heirs get the net benefit after the loan. So you've already done it, though, I assume, right?
Well, no, I haven't done it. I was discussing it with the insurance company, as a matter of fact, about 2 hours ago.
Yeah.
And the net, the result was the 1099, $51,000.
Yeah.
And I would be getting a $9,000 check for the remaining cash during the value.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing is, I thought since I've been paying premiums for a number of years, that would be like a cost basis of the policy. Mm-hmm. I thought, you know, that I could offset some of the premium payments against the 1099 income.
Yeah, I think some of that should already all be factored in there. So you'd have to ask them for an illustration of that. And, you know, without me seeing that, I can't really probably say much more about that. So,
okay. But you said that in any event, when a policy is returned to the company like that, and they issue a 1099, do they usually, a 1099 would be ordinary income?
Yes. Yep.
ordinary income,
Yep.
And is there anything that you could suggest that I could read? Maybe an IRS publication, something like that?
You could Google that. That's all I can tell you off the top of my head is you could probably, just Google insurance, redemptions and see what happens. Cash surrender value. Ask the insurance company for more information. They might have something. Good luck before you do it. But I know that continuing to pay the premiums is sometimes a burden too if you have continued premium payments. But David,
yeah,
I have
that
to.
That would be the best thing to do. Yeah. However, I have an interest bill that I receive from the insurance company.
Yeah, it gets expensive.
Outstanding debt, and that's over I cannot pay it at this time.
I know. That gets expensive. So it's a good tale of caution there. David, I have to go to break, so thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye. We're going to break.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Welcome back. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. I have in the studio with me this evening Dan Banks from Silver Crest Insurance. We're talking about Medicare. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. So we've talked a little bit about how Medicare choices can be confusing. We've talked about the ABCD of Medicare. And Dan, we've talked about folks choosing, whether they go with a Medicare Advantage plan, which is the Part C.
Correct. Yep.
Or a Medicare supplemental plan, which could be with, any health insurance provider out there. Is one coverage better than the other? And why?
I would say I'm strongly in favor of having Medicare as your primary with a true Medicare supplement plan. I just feel when you break down the coverages, by definition, that coverage is going to be better for a number of reasons. The Part C Medicare Advantage plans, despite the name, they actually, because they depend on the government for their subsidy, every year, plus they run on a year-to-year contract, so every year you have to review your plan and decide whether or not the benefits have gotten better or worse. And usually now, because of the subsidies being depleted, they're getting worse. So every year you're sort of making a decision of, well, what do I do now? And you start looking around at other companies and their plans, and it's just really confusing. So it almost feels like you're picking the lesser of two evils every single year. And it's a stressful thing, to have to deal with. I feel like the benefits over the last 6 years have just gotten worse and worse. And by worse, I mean the exposures for people have gone up, which, again, by definition, if your exposure goes up, that's not good.
Mm-hmm. Where, especially as you're getting older every year, too, and chances of having more health issues.
Exactly. It's not a good graph. Your need goes up and your plan goes down. Where with traditional Medicare and a Medigap plan, because the plans don't change, they're guaranteed renewable. They're guaranteed renewable, non-cancelable. So the only way that you can lose your coverage is if you don't pay for it. Okay. Otherwise, it's going to stay the same. Even if they change the whole format of Medicare plans, you're grandfathered in, because I've seen it happen. And now you know your coverage is going to be the same. The downside of those plans is that the premiums go up. But, you know, you can say that's a downside, but if you know what you're paying every month and the premium goes up, at least you know what you're paying. And, mm-hmm. You know, you can plan for that. When your benefits are changing and all this other stuff, you have no idea. Mm-hmm. Because it's like playing Russian roulette. Well, what sickness am I going to have? You know, how would you know?
So why would someone go with a Medicare Advantage plan now? Maybe because if 6 or 7 years ago it was more stable.
Yes. Back when I first got into the Medicare business, I guess, the plans weren't bad. I mean, they, you know, if probably most of them, they're reasonably priced. You can definitely find a plan that's going to cost less than the combination of a supplement and a prescription plan. So a lot of people make that decision based on the cost. And I mean, quite honestly, some people may not have another option. A Medicare Advantage plan is certainly better than just having Medicare alone, because it does come with some perks. They limit your exposure to costs, and they have preventative care in them. So I don't want to sound like I'm trashing them, but Right. If you have a choice and you have the resources to afford Medicare with a supplement, 9 times out of 10, probably 99 times out of 100, I'm going to suggest that you do that.
If people do have trouble paying for Medicare, I know that there are certain programs that help people if they can't afford it. Is that only with Medicare Part B, do you know? Or does it also apply to Advantage plans?
Actually, it applies to, it sort of factors into everything. You would really want to go to your local, I don't want to say local welfare office, that may not sound right, but you can call Social Security and ask how you can get help. There's PACE in Pennsylvania, which is prescription drug assistance. So you could actually get help with your prescription drugs, with your Part B premiums. I mean, depending on what your income is, you might qualify for Medicaid and Medicare at the same time, and they call that dual eligible. So there is if you make, as a rule of thumb, if you are single and make less than $23,500 a year, you should definitely be applying for help, because you probably will get it. And then I don't know the married figure, but that's about what the incomes are.
Okay. So for folks who don't, you know, who have the resources, as you said, they should consider a Medicare supplemental plan, possibly other than the Advantage, only because the Advantage could be changing benefits every year.
Right.
And at least with the supplemental plan, you know what you're getting initially.
Right.
So if I go into a Medicare supplemental plan and it works for my conditions and I can't be kicked out of it, and I have it for 3 or 4 years, and then maybe my medical conditions change, could I switch to a different supplemental plan at any time as well?
That's actually a good question. When you first go into Medicare as a new Medicare enrollee, you have the option to choose any coverage you want. Once you are enrolled in the Medicare program for, I'm not going to go through all the timelines, but when you first pick your plan, there is going to come a time where with Medicare supplements, you would have to answer medical questions if you wanted to switch plans. Now, with the Medicare Advantage plans, you can go in and out of those every single year, or you could go from a supplement to a Medicare Advantage plan. It's not so easy to switch supplements once you're already in them.
Okay.
We do it a lot to save people money. It's definitely possible, but if you've had a serious chronic condition, which could be a number of things, you may not be eligible. Contrary to popular belief, in the ACA, that people think that Affordable Care Act, where everybody thinks that nobody can ask medical questions anymore, that those rules don't apply to Medicare.
Okay. Oh, interesting. Okay. And then since we were talking about cost, and sometimes people worry about the cost, we hear about the donut hole all the time. So let's talk about what is the donut hole, and it's typically when it's referring to prescription drug plans.
Right. It's not a food, I can tell you that.
But eating that food could cause you to need extra medical care.
Yes, yes. Okay. You got to be careful. Don't eat so many donuts. That's probably the single, it's probably the biggest sore spot that people have with Medicare, is that one Achilles heel, which is the donut hole. And it goes back to what I said earlier, that the Medicare prescription drug plans are subsidized by the government. So the government sets the rules for these plans. And in layman's terms, the government is saying, we're only going to pay for so much of your drugs. And at a certain point in the year, we're going to turn your coverage down significantly and ask you to contribute more. Now, more specifically, what I'm saying is that they're going to look at the cost of your drugs as you're ordering them, and they're looking at retail costs. So, for example, if you take insulin, some insulins cost $300 for one prescription. That's what the insurance company is paying for it, and they're giving it to you for a copay, which most people understand. So you might pay $40 for that drug, but they're purchasing it for $300. So every time you purchase your drug, you're running a tab. And when that tab, that tab is determined by the retail cost, that $300, not the $40 you're paying.
Oh, probably most people don't understand that.
Right. And that's the part that people get crossed up in. And when that tab reaches $2,960, that's our 2015 numbers, you now go from paying a copay to paying 45% of the cost of that medication. So slightly under $150. So you're costs spike, and they call that the donut hole, but actually it's the coverage gap, because it's a gap in coverage. So generally, in a general rule of thumb, is that if you have two brand name drugs, tier three brand name drugs, so that could be insulin, it could be Crestor, you are probably going to hit the donut hole.
And I thought that they were supposed to be working on
getting rid of that.
Yeah, getting rid of that. Did that not happen then?
Our government is very good at saying I don't want to put it that way, but they are saying they are closing the gap, based, and that's a result of the Affordable Care Act. I would say more a reduction in the gap based on a schedule where the donut hole is, it started at 50%, so 4 years later we're at 45. In 2020, that will be 25%. And that's where it's going to end. So I don't know if you want to call that closed. I call it 25% open.
Okay. So they're working on it.
They're working on it.
Folks, let me give the phone number again, because I failed to do that. 610-758-8810. That is 610-758-8810. And if you have questions, you know, later, and you can't get through on the line, you can always send the email email me the question as well at yourfinancialchoices.com, and I can send that question on to Dan as well if it's later in the show or after the show. So we're only going to be taking questions for another, 10-12 minutes here. Again, the phone number is 610-758-8810. Dan, how has the Affordable Care Act impacted Medicare?
Well, it's had some ancillary effects. I mean, the publicized effects would be, the reduction in the donut hole. It's really impacted the subsidies to Medicare Advantage plans more than anything else, which is something I had alluded to earlier. Some of the more positive things that have come out of that have been, again, a reduction in the donut hole over a period of time, but also they added preventative care to Medicare, which I think everybody would agree any preventative treatment is a good thing. So people can get their colonoscopies, their annual exams, their blood tests, and things like that on a schedule where it shouldn't have a cost to them, which I would encourage you to do. Otherwise, Not a lot.
Okay.
That's about it.
All right. When we come back from our last break, folks, we are going to talk a little bit more about the different resources for folks to check into to learn more about Medicare and how it applies to you. We're going to talk about an independent agent or the differences of a captive agent, and also the resources on Medicare.gov, and take a quick view at some of the costs at a glance, and a discussion about the cost of your premiums for Medicare Part B. A lot of folks are surprised when their Medicare Part B premium goes up, so we'll touch on that as well. Again, question 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
You're tuned to WDIY Allentown 88.1 FM and WDIY.org, serving the Lehigh Valley. Now, I want Lori and Dan to pay close attention to the weather forecast, and you tell me which day you're going to prefer. Well, first of all, tonight, a low around 43 degrees. Tomorrow, Thursday, both day and night, a 20% chance of showers. Our high tomorrow, 66, and our low, 44. For Friday, mostly sunny, high near 73 degrees. Friday night, a low of 43. For Saturday, sunny with a high near 71. Friday is 73, Saturday is 71, Saturday night a low of 48, and for Sunday, partly sunny with a high near 77 degrees. What's your vote?
I like Saturday at 71.
I'm voting Saturday because we're having a barbecue, and that sounds good to me.
Perfect temperature. San Diego temperature.
Love it. And we continue with your financial choices.
Thank you. If you have questions, we have about 10 more minutes for questions, 610-758-8810. You can call in live on air or off air. Dan, tell me quickly the difference between an independent agent and a captive agent, because recall when we were talking at the top of the show about getting a Medicare Advantage plan, that would be through Medicare, but a Medicare supplemental plan, someone could go to an independent agent.
Right.
So what's the difference between an independent agent and a captive agent?
The captive agent would be an actual employee for an insurance company where typically they're going to get a salary and benefits, and they represent one company. So even though they have a lot of knowledge, when it comes down to it, the recommendation is usually going to be the company that they sell, which makes a lot of sense. The independent agent represents a multitude of companies, so they can act more as a broker and try to connect the person to the plan that fits their needs and budget without being biased into one company. So I just find there's a little, you know, they may have a little more freedom of choice and the ability to tailor a plan specifically to a person based on having more choices. So,
okay. We had a call come in from Richard, and he said he's switching from a Medicare Part C plan to a regular Medigap plan. Any time of year or certain enrollment period. If he wanted to switch, Dan, from a Medicare Part C plan to a Medicare supplemental, a Medigap plan, supplemental plan, same thing. Is there a certain enrollment period?
Right. Yeah, actually, the enrollment period, they call it open enrollment. If you have a Part C plan now, you generally have to stay with that plan for the full calendar year. So the open enrollment period or annual enrollment period for Medicare runs between October 15th and December 7th. So that's about a 7-week period where you have the ability to get out of that Medicare Advantage plan, sign up for a traditional supplement, and then also you want to pick your prescription drug plan. And when you sign up for the prescription drug plan, that will automatically kick you out of your Advantage plan, so which is a nice thing because you don't have to cancel it. That coverage will become effective for January 1st of the following year. There is another time you can do that. I'm not going to get into it. I would just say do it in that time. And does it make sense to choose a more expensive plan based on the fact that you may not be able to switch in the future? I mean, that's really a personal choice. You have to look at your budget, make decisions based on your health, your budget, what's affordable to you. Know that the more comprehensive plans may have higher rate increases in the future. There again, you really want to have the advice of someone that can give you that freedom of choice and show you the different options and make sure that it works for you, because if you can't afford it, it's not a good thing.
Right. So the independent agent would review the different kinds of coverage and the different kinds of cost. Right. And then the enrollee would pick which plan is going to work for them from this menu that you give.
Yeah. It usually becomes a feeling process between two people and so they know what you need and can help you decide what does make sense for you, because the agent doesn't want to put you in a plan you can't afford it 2 years from now, believe me.
Okay. So that's good, Richard. Thank you for calling in. We appreciate it. So we've talked about the different types of Medicare. We've talked about the resources using an independent agent. And Dan, for full disclosure here, you are an independent agent.
Yep.
And you help people through this process when they're picking supplemental plans and making sure that whatever coverage they might have will work for their needs. Because,
right.
I mean, when we met, you showed me how you had like a chart and you were kind of going through the check boxes.
Yeah,
and I thought that was interesting.
We try to keep it really basic and, and straightforward, black and white, as I like to put it, because it can get very convoluted very quickly.
And some of the other resources that are available as well, and I know, Dan, that you know all this off the top of your head, but on Medicare.gov, there's several links that you can go to for more information. There's forms and publications available for you. One of the things that I had pulled up was what's Medicare Supplement Insurance, and it's, in parentheses, Medigap. It would be nice if we could just come up with one term for it, because I always have to feel like I have to over-explain it, because sometimes people don't know.
I hear you.
But one of the things they had in there is 8 things to know about Medigap policies, and they talked about that you must have Medicare Part A and Part B, but remember earlier, so folks who like to do research, and I encourage that and love that, but this isn't actually the whole story, because when it says you must have Medicare Part A and Part B, we already talked earlier, if you're still working and you have coverage, you don't necessarily must have those yet.
Right.
Because so sometimes when we research and we do it, as people get confused, I might be working, I might have insurance, I might be 67, or my husband's working and I'm covered, and I read this and I would be like panicked, oh my gosh, I have to go get Medicare. So people have to kind of start here, but then get extra help for the specifics to them.
Yep.
But one of the, and there's an eight things to know, but I was going to point one other item, which was a Medigap policy only covers one person. If you and your spouse both want Medigap coverage, you'll each have to buy separate policies. And some people don't factor that into their planning.
Yeah, we get that question pretty often. Can we buy a policy together? And just keep in mind, Medicare is an individual thing based on your individual benefits. So the answer is no.
Okay, so that's something important to know. And you can buy a Medicap policy from any insurance company that's licensed in your state to sell one. So to that point, Dan, where someone might be a do-it-yourselfer and they would go out, they would have to maybe go out and reach out to each of these insurance companies to kind of see what might work for them. Sometimes there's online resources, I think, that people can kind of... I've tried to do it for people, and it was like a little nightmare.
Right.
So you've kind of already worked through that.
Yeah, I mean, we have our process so fine-tuned that things like that for us take us about a minute. To go out and do all that research, I describe it as a dog chasing his tail. So
yeah.
it's you know, it's done. I've seen people do it, but it's not easy.
Okay, so then there was also another link, Medicare 2015 costs at a glance, and I thought this was important to kind of highlight, if we can get this in, which is we've talked about Medicare Part B premiums being paid if you're on Social Security directly out of your Social Security. If you have not collected Social Security, maybe you're waiting until full retirement age, which might be 66 or later, and Medicare starts at 65. Maybe you're someone who's delaying to age 70. If you don't otherwise have coverage and you have to pay for your own insurance, you'd have to make sure you have made arrangements to pay for your Medicare Part B, because it's not going to be coming out of your Social Security because you're not collecting yet. So Part B premiums for 2015, most people pay $104.90 a month. But folks, it can go, the premiums can be adjusted based on your income from 2 years ago. Okay, so you want to make sure that when you're looking at your tax return, your tax planning, if, you know, if the premium can adjust up at $170,000 on page one of your tax return and you're at $170,100, maybe there was something you could have done to keep yourself under $170,000, because otherwise your premium's going to go up. And I had that number somewhere, but I'm running out of time. Just know that your premium cost for Part B can go up based on your income, and it depends on your marital status. Just some other quick costs. It talked about Part B deductible, $147 per year. And then some of the costs that you'd have for Part A, hospital inpatient deductibles. So $1,260 deductible for each benefit period and la-da-da-da-da. So the supplemental insurance, Dan, is going to help folks
pay those deductibles.
Okay.
Correct.
So it's good to know what kind of supplemental insurance that you're going to have. Dan, we have about 3 minutes left. What else would you like to share with folks with our last couple minutes?
I don't know. I think you've really done a good job. I would comment on the Medicare website. Medicare.gov is actually a very good comprehensive website. There's a book called Medicare and You. There's so many publications available on Medicare, but the Medicare and You book is sort of, I call it the Bible of Medicare. It's about 152 pages of material. And when people want to know, well, what does Part B cover? What does A cover? Does it cover chiropractor? Does it cover acupuncture? This is where you're going to find it. You could call Medicare and they'll actually send you a hard copy. You can download it online. I mean, if you like to look through 152 pages of computer screen. But I would say if you're going to have one thing, keep this around the house for those questions. So, you know, that's probably, it's like I said, a lot of your questions can be answered in that website by doing a quick search. A Google search will always bring up the Medicare website.
So this is a good book for folks for the Part A and Part B coverage.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. And then the 152 pages, though, folks, I think the table of contents was like 13 pages. So it's very, very specific and has a lot of detail. So
yeah.
You think that's a good little guideline for people if they're someone who has a lot of medical kind
it's
of
It's a good
coverage,
reference.
Services.
I wouldn't suggest trying to read it cover to cover and figure out what you're doing based on it. But once you're already on Medicare and, you know, you would find that you can get a lot of questions answered just by looking in that book. So
okay. So to recap, we were talking about Medicare this evening. We were talking about different resources for folks, you know, using either an independent agent or someone called an apprised counselor who's a volunteer who's been trained to help people kind of navigate the Medicare system. We talked about using Medicare Advantage, which is subsidized plans, which could change benefits year to year and cost probably depending on the subsidy. And then we have Medicare supplemental plans, which once you're in and you're not gonna, the plan's not going to change, your coverage isn't going to change, and they're not going to deny you or kick you out.
Wow, you got a good memory.
Okay. But we want to make sure we have the resources to cover that.
Yep.
And Dan, you are an independent agent and you help people navigate this. And the name of your company and how people can reach you?
We are Silvercrest Insurance. easily, you can find us online. Just Google our name and go to our website, and all our contact information is there.
What's your website?
It's www.silvercrestins.com.
SilvercrestINS.com. Okay, Dan, thanks so much for being here. You are a wealth of knowledge. I've really
pleasure.
Appreciated it, and I enjoyed it very much. We'll have to have you come back on again.
Thank you.
Listeners, thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate it. I thank Judy Ann for being here. I thank John Pierce for being here. And Dan Banks, of course, from Silvercrest Insurance. Thank you so much for being here. Next week, we're going to do spring cleaning. I know I'm a little late on spring, but you know, I'm a bit of a procrastinator. So spring cleaning. But what do I mean by that? I want to talk about shredding old documents, but not just that. What haven't we done in a while? Let's clean up charge cards, automatic charge card statements, reviewing those, and trying to take care of our financial life. We have coming up next Tom Druckenmiller within the tradition folk music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive, and make the best of your financial choices. Have a great week.